We had fun over there. It's a nice building. A lot of people worked hard to put that there. And we're all going to work hard to make sure that we are vehicles that the Lord can use that facility to build into kids and teens and their parents. Anyway, fun. It was really fun. Tomorrow, next Sunday, by the way, is the first Sunday of Advent. And so traditionally now at Trinity, for how many years now? Almost 10 years, we have an Advent project that is pretty much connected to the trip I just got back from in India. And we are calling it Transformed Lives. Picture of a butterfly there, and that's going to be the symbol of the entire project because the word transformed is metamorphosis. And this project is all about changing lives, the lives of 200 girls that are very vulnerable. They're at risk for trafficking. They are in a few of the areas where I just was in India. One of the areas is where several years ago we bought a school bus to bus them from a particular area to the school. So that's our project. You're going to hear a ton about it starting next week. Our project, the goal is to help 200 girls with health care, education, and safety training to get them out of the danger that they're in. We're calling it the Get There First initiative, meaning we want to get to the girls first before the traffickers do. 200 girls is our goal. $60,000 will be our goal as well. And you'll hear a ton about it starting next week as well. Let's read the scriptures together. Can we do that? I tell you what, let's stand together. Can you see that passage? This is Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 through 4. As the congregation of God's people, let's read it together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Word of the Lord. Have a seat. Dr. Burton White, a longtime expert in parent and child development, he is presently the director of the Center for Parent Education outside of Boston. He's written a ton of books. It's extensive research. He says this. I want you to hear this. In my judgment, not more than 1 out of 10 gets off to as good a start as he could in the parenting process. But given a little help, parents are capable of doing an excellent job. Unfortunately, help is often not available. I mean, let's face it, our society presently does not give a whole lot of help to parents in the skill of that essential role that a society needs. The church can do better. The church does do better. The church is called to come alongside parents, to partner with parents, to equip parents, to be the kind of parents that passage just described, the kind of parents that will raise kids in the manner that they ought to be raised. That's part of what today was all about. That's part of why we build a facility like that, to help equip parents, but also to provide a space where children, in the partnership with a church, can realize, boy, God loves me, and this is a place where I can grow. Our passage today addresses the nurturing and discipling of our children by us as parents, as well as the entire body of Christ. The passage we're going to look at, there's our title, has two main parts to it. The first is a charge to kids, and the second is the responsibility of parents. The charge to kids is always responsive. This is how they're to respond to the parenting. The responsibility of the parents is always initiative. This is how the parents ought to initiate their parenting. They're loving, they're leading. You get those two things confused, and you have chaos. The passage begins, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Right at the start, I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul assumes something. All of the New Testament letters, or at least most of them, were written to local congregations. And as those congregations received the letters, they would then be read aloud to the entire congregation in one fell swoop. They would just read it to the congregation. The Apostle Paul assumes that kids are in attendance in the assembly. Because after three chapters of heavy, deep theology, where the kids probably fell asleep, he then all of a sudden addresses them. And he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." He's assuming they're there in the assembly. That is really an important thing to notice. The importance of the children within the body and the family of the church, which again, I'll be reminding you throughout this morning, that's why we did what we did there. The importance of the children in the family of the assembly. So first we're going to start off with the charge to the kids. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." Right off the bat, I want to make three observations about that passage, just right off the bat. The first observation I want to make is that this instruction to parents immediately follows what we looked at last week, which was the passage on marriage. Again, what he's saying in the writing of that is a strong, prioritized, Christ-pursuing marriage, last passage, is the basis for a healthy, wise, godly child rearing. Can't have one without the other. You got to have both. A spiritually functional marriage is the basis for spiritually functional kids. Not a guarantee, but a basis for that. Think about that. One of my old professors at seminary, Dr. Howard Hendricks, used to say, "You cannot impart what you do not possess." If you do not possess either the will or the desire for spiritual growth, for a Christ-centered life, for functionality in your life, how are you ever going to pass that on to your kids? First observation. He writes about marriage and Christ-centered marriages, and then he writes about child-rearing. They go together. The most important thing, I'm talking to the parents now, the most important thing you can do for the well-being of your children and for child-rearing is to work on your marriage, is to love your spouse. That's the basis upon which you parent. Second observation. The fact that children are directly addressed, children, obey your parents. The fact that they're directly addressed says volumes about the value of kids, which was really radical in that day. First century Christianity was revolutionizing in the way it gave dignity to everybody, including children. And then the third observation I want to make, that he says, "Children, obey your parents." Meaning boys and girls. Again, in that society, girls were valued even less than boys. And it's true in a lot of societies as well as today. Girls are as valuable in God's sight and in God's church as boys are. The early church rejected that bias. And we do too. We built the hub. We will design ministries for that new space as a statement of value. For boys and girls and children and teenagers and young families. Okay, those are my observations. Now let's look at the first charge to the kids. Remember, it's responsive. In God's design, the child's role is meant to respond. To respond to the leadership, to the love of their parents. And the first thing that they say, and all kids are going to roll their eyes when it says this, obey your parents. Oh, yeah, duh, here we go again. Oh, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Obey your parents. It's straightforward, but it's not necessarily easy, is it? Parents, that's your call. Be clear. Know why they're obeying. Make sure you know what you're asking them to do. Know it is, he says, obey your parents in the Lord. Make sure your calls for obedience is consistent with the will of God. And just like God calls us to obey, make sure that your call to obey is a mix of law or rules and grace. Every time I mess up and break a rule of God, there's grace waiting for me. How about you? That's where the church can help. I hope as a church, we model those two things, an obedient lifestyle and an abundance of grace. That's what your parenting ought to be, both of those things. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. I love his reason. Because it's right. In other words, if you want chaos, don't do it. This is the right thing to do. If you want order in your home, children, obey your parents. As a parent, you might say, yeah, but my Johnny's so cute, I can't just ask him for obedience, right? Yeah, Johnny's cute, but ask him for obedience or you're going to drive yourself crazy. And all of us, by the way. Obey your parents. And then the next response, honor your father and your mother. That's the fifth command, by the way. Treat them with respect. Now he's going broader. But the first one, obey your parents, that sounds like he's talking to a 7-year-old or maybe a 16-year-old. Now he's broadened it. Honor your father and your mother. Obedience is different than honor. Obedience is be in bed by 9 o'clock. Honor's a tone. Honor is a respect. And honor, by the way, is a lifetime. My mom's going to be 94, I think, in a couple of weeks. That command still applies to me in her 90s. She's still my mom. I still must honor her. You too. Yeah, but you don't know my dad. He was a total jerk. Maybe so. You don't have to obey him anymore. You're an adult. You have to honor him. Treat him with respect. And you know what part of that honor might be if he really was a jerk? Forgive him. Your dad goes to your grave and you never said, Dad, I love you, or I'm sorry, or I forgive you, you'll regret it the rest of your life. That's part of honoring too. So that's the charge to the kids. They're meant to respond to the parents' leadership and love, and they do it by obeying their parents and by honoring their mother and father. Now comes the responsibility to fathers or to parents. This one is not responsive. This is initiative. This is initiative, which means mom or dad, you're not passive. You're not heavy-handed, but you're not passive. And it begins this way. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Now, it's interesting he uses the word father because you could take that a couple of ways. You could take it generically as parents, mother and father. And the first couple of verses might lend you to do that when it says, children, obey your parents, honor your mother and father. So you could take it as a charge to all parents. However, it could also mean, fathers, don't provoke your kids to anger. Don't drive them crazy. Maybe it's to fathers because I'm a father. Maybe we're better at it than our wives are. For our sake this morning, we're going to apply it to both parents. This is a call for all of us. And there's a lot of you, a lot of us who are single parents. This is a charge to you. And by the way, if you're a single parent, thanks for working so hard. I know your job is really, really tough. And this too is where the church can come alongside you as a parent, help equip you and partner with you. Okay, here's the call. Fathers, parents, first of all, do not provoke your children to anger. Don't provoke your kids. Here's a good word. Don't exacerbate them. That's literally what it says. How do we do that? Well, think of the way we lead. Think of the way we love. I got a call a couple of months ago from my doctor's office. And my doctor says, we haven't seen you in a couple of months. We haven't seen you in a long time. That's what they said. We haven't seen you in a long time. Isn't that the idea? Well, no. There's preventative medicine and there's corrective medicine. Oh, yeah, I get it. There's preventative parenting and there's corrective parenting. And you better be doing both of them. Preventative parenting is just love. When everything's fine, it's listening, it's spending time with, it's giving value to. Preventative parenting is, I am with you. I hear you. I sense your fear. I don't want to be on your back. I want to be on your team. That's preventative parenting. It's joyous if you do it. It's centered on them. I was not a perfect parent by any means. You know, I became a pastor. I didn't want to be a doctor because I never saw my dad. He was always working. So I became a pastor. She didn't see me much either. But I will say one thing that I would recommend any dad do, any parent. Sue has always been busy with women's ministry our whole life. She's always had several nights a week dedicated to something involved with the women's ministry. From the time Sarah was a baby to the time she went to college, we had one night a week that was her night and my night. It was our night, every week. Sometimes we'd just stay home. Sometimes we'd read. Sometimes we'd go get ice cream. Sometimes we'd go play tennis. But that would be our night. And it wouldn't be the time that I'd say, now listen, and I'd get out my sermon notes and tell her all the things that she'd... I wouldn't say really a whole lot sometimes. I'd just let her talk. And I'd listen to what she has to say. That's preventative parenting. There's also corrective parenting. That's leadership. That's discipline. Which, by the way, if you don't do preventative parenting when they're young, they'll never listen to you while you're doing corrective parenting when they're teenagers. They won't. You didn't listen to me when I was 7. I'm not going to listen to you when I'm 17. Count on it. Now, corrective parenting as well can be exacerbating if we're not careful. Sometimes it can be exacerbating if your discipline, if your leadership is too hard, too strict. No. No, can't do that. No, everything's a no. Everything's a no. I've met a number of kids in my life that up until age 10, they didn't know their name wasn't no, because that's all they heard. Rule for everything. No grace. When was the last time you laughed out loud with your kids? Bar's too high. Andre Agassi, remember him, tennis player? He was a really good American tennis player, and rising up at the same time with Jim Courier. You know that name? There were two American tennis players rising at the same time. Well, when they were junior tennis players, Courier tells the story of when they were junior tennis players, they played in the finals of a junior tournament, and Courier won. Agassi lost. So Agassi got the second place trophy. And Courier says, as I'm walking away from the tournament, away from the court, I see Andre with his dad. And his dad grabs the second place trophy as they walk past the garbage can, and he throws it into the garbage can, and he says, that's where second place belongs. Woo! Exacerbating. Sometimes our discipline, our love can be exacerbating because the bar's too high, because we're too hard on them. Sometimes it can be exacerbating because we're too soft on them, right? No rules in our home. You know what can be really frustrating? If you've got no boundaries. And if you're not giving your 9-year-old or your 15-year-old some boundaries, talk about frustration. You need boundaries. Where do I play? And it's really going to be provoking to anger to them when the leniency they felt at home, they don't experience in school. Especially in the workforce when they get a little bit older. And too hard, I can be too soft. Or if there's two parents, you can be too inconsistent. Mom says it's green and dad says it's red. Man, you got to be on the same page, guys. Don't provoke your children to anger. Don't exacerbate. Don't do that. Here's what you do do. You do bring them up. And I'm going to take that phrase literally. Do bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up. Grow them. Help grow them up. Help them become healthy adults. Age appropriate, but give them the skill to make decisions and bear the consequences of decisions. Age appropriate, but teach them about money. What do we do with money? Teach them responsibility. Give them things in their lives where they need responsibility. Buy them a pet. Really? Yeah, but my carpet is brand new. The dog will ruin the carpet. Well, then buy him a hamster. Or buy him a dog and quit worrying about the carpet. Carpet's not making it to eternity. Your kid is. Grow them up. Help them become adults. And when they become adults, when you've done your job well, when they're 18 or 20 or 25, let them go. Do bring them up. And here again is where the church comes alongside in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The discipline, the practices of the faith. The instruction, the truths of the faith. And as a church, we will come alongside and help. These are the disciplines, but you got to do it. You got 90-some percent of your children's time. We have a few percent. But these are the disciplines of a child, of an adult, of a Christ follower. We pray and we worship and we read and the disciplines. But then also the instructions. This is what we believe. This is what we value. This is what grace is. This is the entire story of the scriptures. This is what it means for Christ to come into your life. This is what grace is. We've all messed up. We've all fallen short. Dad has. You have too. And we have a loving, gracious God that provided a means for forgiveness for when I've messed up. That's your job as parents. We'll tell the same message consistently, I promise. It's a partnership. But let me tell you this. As you introduce your son or your daughter to spiritual things, to Christ, before they'll ever hear you talk about Christ, they need to see it in you. They need to see it in your demeanor, in the way you treat your spouse, in the way you handle life. They need to see Christ in your living before they hear it in your talking. When they do, and it's truly Christ, it'll be so attractive, they want some of that too. Don't exacerbate, but do bring them up. This really is a partnership between you, us as parents, and us as a church. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he or she is old, they won't depart. I'll end with this. I love this phrase by George Barna. In the race to a child or teen's heart, first one there wins. And we want to be the first ones there. That's why we build such a beautiful facility. We want kids to say, whoa, they value me. Whoa, they spend time with me. Whoa, this is fun. And it's also life-changing. As the people of Christ, we want to be the first ones there in your kid, in your teen's heart. Let's do it together. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that your Holy Spirit can put a stamp on this day with, just like the Apostle Paul in the Ephesian church, we value kids because you do. Lord, we do pray that through our lives and through our families and through our ministries, we would be securing the future. The future of Christ-loving, functional children. That long after we adults are gone off the scene, even here, this church will be vibrant because of what your Holy Spirit has done through parents, through the ministries here, and the children that are here even now or still to come. As your children, we want to say thank you. And we want to honor you, our Father, and obey you as our God. Thank you for the grace to do all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.